Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey, y'all. I'm your host, Mark Covey.
And I'm Court.
And this is Mountain State Mysteries. Today we're switching things up a bit, and we asked y'all if you had any questions for us on Instagram stories, and you guys delivered. So, Court, are you ready to dive into these questions?
Sure.
So, the first one is, what inspired you to start Mountain State Mysteries? And that was really, you know, I have always been a true crime lover. I mean, from like day one. I grew up playing Nancy Drew games on the computer with my cousins. I've always watched documentaries, TV shows. There was someone murdered where we are recording right now, actually. And I've always just, I think, just loved the mystery of true crime. So me and Court were coming home from D.C. one day, and I was telling her about the case of Nellie and Ray, which is episode one, season one, of Mountain State Mysteries. And I'm like, you know, we've been kind of just playing tennis with our brains with, you know, podcast ideas. And I'm like, let's do true crime. And she's like, okay. So, you know, that kind of just started the spiral of us doing Mountain State Mysteries. And like, we're not stopping anytime soon because we love this so much.
And so we talked a tiny bit about it because we were actually listening to podcasts on the way up. We were listening to
Crime Junkie.
No, it was about the co-eds.
Oh, yeah. Appalachian Mysteria.
Yeah, we were listening to that. And Mark said, man, I would love to do a podcast, but I don't think I could do it by myself. And I said, I'll do it for you. I said, I'm used to public speaking and all that stuff. Yeah. I'll do it. And it literally, you have to understand, like, we are people that have 1,000 ideas.
Yeah.
And this is one that was birthed and became reality for us.
In the span of?
Like, months. 5 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours, we decided we were going to do it. Mm-hmm. He started telling me about Nellie and Ray, and we came home.
We jumped around on name ideas for a bit.
Yeah, and we came home, and sure enough, we done a deep dive into this case in literally months of driving back and forth.
Yeah.
Investigating, spending hours at the library. I mean, I think they were actually kind of shocked
that someone was using the microfish or microfilm, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
We got kicked out of the library one day. We were in there for so long.
They were like, hey guys, we know that you are really into it, but we are literally getting ready to close. Yeah. And we're like, oh, okay.
We have like 15 minutes to rewind film from 1947.
Yeah. And when stuff like that is done, it's not like one particular month, it's the entire year. So we had to go back 11 months to get everything rewound, everything put up, all that stuff before they closed.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the funniest things was the one night that we were out trying to find where Nellie and Ray
were buried.
Yeah. And we were down in Cranberry creek.
Oh, where the bodies were found.
Yeah, like yeah. Where we went down there and we were down the bumpy road, like instead of going to Thurman, how we went down towards Prince.
That was our first night really diving into it.
Really was. And that night we were in McDonald's eating chicken nuggets.
And I forgot about that.
Like literally researching on our phones.
Yeah.
Like, and then came home. And it was literally 2-3 hours later. We're still doing it. And I will always say that has to be our passion case.
Yeah. And then, like, we weren't that far off mileage-wise.
No.
I ended up getting in contact with Tom Soford through a friend. And he is absolutely amazing. Like, you didn't get to go with me, but he had maps everywhere in his shop. And he pulled out a map of Penman, and he's like, it's where the federal prison is today. And I went, I wish I could get there. I wish I could get there. And Courtney was thinking of ways to get us in there, which is scary. But
listen, I ain't above, like, going up there and be like, hey, can we come in and snoop? We'll say we're visiting or whatever. Like, when I say that, I was legit getting ready to, like, be like, can I look up prisoners in here so we can get in and get on the grounds?
Yeah.
Because where the prison is where their bodies was.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
Well, in all honesty, it's probably not. The town is where Penman is, but they were found by the powerhouse, which really could have been anywhere out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that we still aren't sure on.
Yeah, but when I say that, I was legit going to start looking at prisoners' names.
Which I can actually get in there now, because two of my family members work at the federal prison, and they once a year they open it up to family, and you can go tour it. But I'm always working. It's always on, like, a Tuesday.
Oh, what case has haunted you the most?
I mean, there's so many. I definitely want to say the case of Baby Christian.
Yes.
Angela Shreese, Gwen Stevens, Teresa Ann Woods, Nellie and Ray, of course.
Yeah.
Chandice Cochran, and then James Lee Haynes. Yeah. What about you?
Definitely Baby Christian. Baby Aaliyah.
That one, like, I still think of that one and it breaks my heart. I just want to know where that little girl is.
I think any case
involving children
or they're missing and just out of nowhere, I think that always affects me.
Oh, and Jahlia Davis.
Yes.
Should we talk about when we were recording the episode for the first time, or can we?
Yeah, we can talk about
that. So, we were recording her case, like a month before it was released or something like that.
Yeah.
And Courtney's phone was ringing, and I'm like, get it, you know. It was your mom.
It was my mom, and I was like, oh my gosh, she knows I'm recording.
Yeah.
And I just dismissed her call, and immediately she called back.
Yeah.
And that's when we got the news that Alex was found.
Yeah, and we literally stopped recording. We left our recording area a mess, and we went there. We couldn't get in there because, you know, your uncle wasn't there. And then we, oddly enough, went to Walmart after.
Yeah. Like,
and we recorded like a day or two later.
Yeah, but that case, that is always the case that will forever just, nothing about that case makes sense.
No.
I have drove that road so many times.
Yeah, I mean, you know better than anyone I know.
There's no way possible that the girl was not murdered.
Yeah, I mean,
no. I mean, every bit of it. it just links that she was murdered. It wasn't this horrific accident like they want to let on that it is. It's absolutely murder.
Ooh, this is a good one. How do you choose your cases? I think it's safe to say that there is no rhyme or reason in how we choose our cases. We try to do as many missing people as we can. You know, murders, we try to find cases where someone survived, which we have one of those coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's a really good case.
And a lot of it too, I just go and I just start researching.
You, like half of our cases, I think this season came from you.
I get on there, I just start researching, and I'm like, oh my God, let me send this one to you.
And we also listen to our listeners because yes. We are finally doing a case that has been requested since day one, which still blows my mind. But it's kind of, you know, the cases we've known forever, you know, like Charisse, James Lee Haynes. We knew we had to cover those, but mm-hmm. we wanted to do it at like the perfect time for the cases. And always, if there's like an update to any case, we will put one out.
Yeah.
We love to do missing persons cases because we always feel that there is a call to action with them.
And somebody out there knows to what is going on with somebody who's missing. Mm-hmm. They always know. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, with my job, when I'm in stores,
you get a lot of cases. That's how we got Jalea. That's how we got Jalea's case.
Yeah, I was doing a store visit, and I'm in talking to people, and they were like, "Oh my God, have you ever heard of the story of Jalea Davis?" And I'm like, "No," and they're like, "Look it up."
Yeah, Courtney texted it to me, and I think I was at work, but I forget what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, I'm already listening to something on. I'm already doing research. And I knew from that day she had to be one we covered.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, and sometimes there's a case we get told where there isn't a lot of information on it.
Yeah.
So we say we're not going to cover it right now, but we will cover it in due time.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too, with our work schedules, it makes it so hard for us to be able to like deep mm-hmm. dive into some of the cases that we want to fully deep dive mm-hmm. in, because a lot of times, a lot of our only information is old newspaper articles.
Yeah.
That's it. And you're like, oh my God, well, you can find them online.
No, like you have to go to the library. And
yes.
It's hard for people to understand that sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's both of us sitting there, and he'll have one side of the newspaper, I'll have the other side of the newspaper, and we're both scanning mm-hmm. the pages together and trying to catch something. And then it's literally going a page by page by page.
And Charisse's case, we went to the library, got the year, everything, nothing, crickets. And then it was, what, December or something? There was finally some little thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the next year, to the next year, to the next year. And we're like, there's one article on Charisse.
Yeah.
And then we got wind of where her car is. We went there, probably looked insane on security footage, but it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like we were peeking through the fence. We're like, oh, they really just went through this vehicle. And then I ended up getting access to the website that her family had for her, and like that website is not active whatsoever to this day, but there was a lot of information on that that we got to put in the episode.
And a crazy thing about Charisse's case, too, when we were researching it, was I told Mark, I said, back in the day, there was this little tiny section in the newspapers, and I told you what it was. I can't even remember it now, but it was in our local newspaper that showed every call that the Beckley police got, every call that the Raleigh County Sheriff's got.
Yeah.
And we went through the entire year just searching for that to see if there was any missing person calls made.
There was one or two.
One or two, and that was it.
I wish they still did that.
Same. That was like my favorite thing. Nosy. Oh my God, it was like my favorite thing. So, do you ever hear from the families or friends of the victims you cover? Yes.
And no.
A lot of times, a majority of them are very willing to talk because they want to get their name out there. Yeah,
there's only been two. And, well, one is I didn't have the contact information for him, and I couldn't find the contact information for him, which I think now if we would ask, they would talk to us.
Yes.
But it's like I said in the last episode, you know, it was a few months after we recorded and released episode 2 on James Lee Haynes, I got that little red bubble, and I was like, oh my God, Courtney, Linda messaged me. She's like, you're joking. I'm like, no. And then, you know, we've been on phone calls with them. I've met them because you were out of the state, I think. Out of the state or out of town, you were somewhere that you couldn't be here. And then I reached out to Brenda Gail Lambert's sister, Christy, who I love. Christy, if you're listening, you are literally the best. You were sick, I think.
Yes.
And, you know, the West Virginia Way was nice to, you know, let us have the Mayberry Mansion, which I didn't know was minutes away from the sawmill that Brenda's rumored to be at. That kind of blew my mind. And, you know, we did the interview there, and, you know, I found out Christy is a true lover of the paranormal. She loved every single second of it. And we actually have an interview coming up with a survivor of something that happened in a case that I'm not going to talk about just yet. But, it's kind of touch and go sometimes.
Yeah, like the case with Jalea Davis, for example. Yeah.
Emily,
she started this whole thing called Mile Marker 181.
Yeah, it was a podcast.
It was a whole podcast, everything. And the girl went from saying, oh my gosh, she was murdered, all this stuff, to then just changing her mind.
Yeah, screaming at Jalea's mom.
Yeah, and that right there kind of ruins things too.
Yeah.
And everything, because now, like, Jalea's family don't want to speak out because of the way that they were treated.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, we tried to reach out as much as we can.
Yeah.
We've been lucky with, you know, James Lee Haynes, Teresa Ann Woods, Brenda Gail Lambert.
Yeah, and my family, my uncle, he was like, here you go.
Yeah, he gave us
everything.
He literally handed us a thing, and I was looking at this. I went, Courtney? She went, yeah. I went, is this a case file? She went, yeah. I went, okay. It was a huge Rubbermaid container.
Yeah.
Full of stuff. And I went, oh. And, like, we got scanned pictures.
Which
we actually, for Alex's case, we got to release a bunch of pictures that was never used before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, have we had any others?
Not yet, but I will say, if any of the families are watching this, we want to give your family exposure to get their names out there. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear from you guys. We love hearing personal stories about the victims and everything. We absolutely love it because as much as what we can tell you, the families can tell you so much more.
So the next one is, have you ever visited any of the locations you've covered? Yeah, we have. Nellie and Ray, David Fan, Charisse, we've been in Clarksburg with Harry Powers.
Yes.
What other ones?
We went over to where Alex was found.
Yeah, we we did. I forgot about that one.
We went past Jalea Davis when we were going up to Parkersburg.
Oh, yeah. We drive by the house that Jerry Ball lived in.
Yes.
Which you can't see it, but it's rumored to still be there.
We definitely, one of our biggest things is we want to get up to Harper's Ferry for baby Christian.
Yes.
That's one of our biggest things we want to do.
We can do that next week. Yes. I think, because I think we can go that way.
Yeah. Huh. Side trip.
We have 4 days. We try to get a lay of the land and just figure out as much as we can, because we found out, we actually took my dad because he knows like Stevens like the back of his hand, and we figured out that there is no way David Fan could have been however many yards they were saying he was, because he would have been right out in the open from the overlook.
That, and like a lot of times when we're reading over stuff for cases, like it was talking about Nellie and Ray.
Yeah.
Saying 19 miles. 19 miles from Black Knight Country Club to Penman.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
I can maybe see it back in the day, but at the same time, I don't.
We've also went 3 different ways, and it's been the same amount of time each way.
It is. And it's things of that nature that we're like, something doesn't make sense. And we want stuff that we read to make sense. But a majority of times,
it doesn't.
We're literally like scratching our heads like, oh my God, this makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah, ooh, we got a juicy one.
Ooh.
Would you ever cover the case of Natalie Cochran?
One day. I want to do it right, and I want to do it as somewhat unbiased as I could. Which, I mean, she did it. I mean, there's no way to paint it that she didn't do it, but it's not going to be, you know, a 30-minute episode.
No. Not at all.
I'm kind of waiting for, like, everything to come out. And, you know, I'm going to try to get the files for it one day so we can really, you know, do possibly our biggest deep dive on it. And, you know, I watched every single day of the trial. And I've listened to so much on it. And, you know, it's kind of a one day when it happens type situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we have talked about.
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah, but at the same time too, her name is out there so much that I think we kind of want to
not do it at the moment.
Yeah, and we want to be able to put our spotlight on somebody else.
Yeah, so, I mean, I love what people are doing with her case, because I mean, they are telling every side to it, you know, and they're getting like Creepalacha, he is getting so many people talking about the case, he's talking to so many people, which is great. So I think right now we are just gonna, you know, sit back, you know, hear as much as we can.
Yeah.
And
I think also, too, like, one of our big things is, like, any case we cover, we look at every single angle.
And we try to stay away from the headlines.
Yeah.
At that given moment. We kind of let them die down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we, like, I added, like, all of the case, all of the trial into a cart just to figure out how much it was. And I went, oh God, we're going to have to wait a little bit for this.
Yeah. Very expensive.
Yeah. So, I mean, one day we will cover the case of Natalie Cochran. When that day comes, TBD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is one that we have bounced back so many times. Would you ever do a live show? Again, TBD. I mean, we have talked about it a lot, honestly, I think since day one, because I kind of came up with a 10-year plan for Mountain State Mysteries before before it even started. And I was really just, if we would do a live show, I would want it to be a case we haven't covered. And it wouldn't be just a, like, come listen to us talk. It would be a
full interactive experience.
Yeah, I mean, we would, yeah. We would have, like, a there would be videos, like a docu-type situation going on. So, TBD.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I already have our dream venue in mind, too. So, I think it could be, like, a crane or an owl.
You take that filth. You get that filth out of your mouth right now.
I mean, I want to believe in it. But at the same time, I'm like, I can see it being an owl or a crane too, if it was in the TNT bunker.
Don't listen to him.
He
doesn't know what he talks about. He's not a believer like the rest of us.
I am a believer. I mean, I believe the Flatwoods Monster happened, but I don't think it was actually a monster. I think it was, you know, an experiment gone wrong. Like the MK Ultra thing. I think it was someone in a suit or something.
Also, I think I firmly, you know, well, luckily things have been revealed. UFOs are real.
Oh, 100%. So, I mean, could it have been an alien? Yeah.
Could I mean, it's possible.
Could it have been a, like, government agent? Yeah.
But that's what I love so much about the lore of West Virginia.
Same.
If there's one thing anybody can agree on who comes to the state, Mothman pepperoni rolls.
100%. Oh, my God. The Mothman chips are so good.
Oh, they are.
Which, I mean, I love the town of Point Pleasant. Me and Courtney went there. It's such a creepy feel, that town. And, you know, I love going to the Mothman Museum.
I will never forget the first time I went to Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
And my nephew, he was little at the time. Oh, God, how old was Brian? He was maybe about 11, 12 years old at the time. And I will never forget just, like, this complete and total, like, felt like somebody was watching me the entire time. Like, I can't explain, like, there's such an eerie feeling whenever you get to Point Pleasant. But if you have never been, go check it out. It's such a cool little town to go into and visit.
I have a Mothman Airbnb. It should be ready by now. Because it was like a year when, it's been a year since we've been there. So, yeah, there should be a Mothman. Because they're still working on the Low Hotel right now. So, that I think Pam, she was there for work. And she was talking to the people in the Mothman Museum, and they said it should be maybe 2 years because they're, like, redoing the entire hotel, which we will be staying there.
Yes.
The next one, would you ever spend the night in one of the locations you covered? I have, like, five times. the Mayberry Mansion. I have stayed there five times. You haven't stayed there yet. One day I will get you there.
For those who do not know, every time that I am set to go, I always end up sick.
Yeah.
Every time without doubt. Yeah.
Which, the last time you got to go, but you weren't able to stay the night. But I think that's the only place I've stayed.
Are there any West Virginia cases you believe deserves way more attention?
All of them.
Every single one.
Every case we've covered so far. Yeah. So, the next question is, what's a case you think will be solved one day? I want to say the case of Sharice Gwynn Stevens.
Yes.
I feel like her case will be solved.
I feel her case will be solved sooner than later.
Yeah.
I really do.
I want to say the case of James Lee Haines, but his case was solved. Police let the killer go because back then, nobody, no crime. Really, right now, we just need people to tell us where Big Branch Hollow is in Wyoming County.
Yeah.
Which, there is a lot of them, but we are talking about one that is near Glenn Rogers. I mean, my grandmother lived in Glenn Rogers for years, and like, even your grandmother lives near there, and they really have no idea where it is. I mean, we kind of have an idea, but it's just...
Same thing with Brenda.
Getting there. Yeah, Brenda, like...
We just literally need the police to get involved with that case.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about telling West Virginia stories?
Bringing attention to the state, because our state gets shit on every single day.
It's so true.
And, I mean, really, if you think about it, the cases that are, you know... Nationwide from West Virginia, the Sodder children, which I actually got to find out so much more on that case because I met, you know, one of their remaining family members, Mothman, Harry Powers, and that's really it. I mean, you have Natalie Cochran now.
Yeah.
You have the nurse from Clarksburg.
Yes.
That's really it. Those are the cases that we are known for. We are known that Charles Manson grew up in Weston.
Don't forget, a majority of people know about Trains Allegheny.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really just giving the cases a spotlight because we started this. We're like, do we want to go all over the U.S.? Do we not? Then I'm like, you know, I love... every podcast I listen to, and there isn't a lot that cover the state of West Virginia. And I'm like, okay, so let's do it. So yeah, I mean, it's all just about, I mean, we are going to branch out from the state this season.
Yeah.
But we are trying to be as local as we possibly can.
Yeah. We always want to remain local because there's so much out there that needs to be covered.
Yeah. So the next question, have you ever had to cut a story or episode because you felt it was too intense or dangerous? No, but I was only worried about one, and that was the case of Jerry Ball, because we still today have no idea if he's in jail or if he's out of jail. We will get comments on our YouTube video that is like, he's out of jail. No, he's in jail. Oh my God, I knew him growing up. He's still in jail. He's not in jail.
I think we just need to take a trip down there to the prison and be like, hey, is he here?
I don't know what prison he's in.
He's supposed to be somewhere in Charleston.
Oh, okay. And then, actually, there is one case. It was the case of Mark Baer. You remember the house that was for sale that we went to go look at near Grandview?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where that took place. And, I mean, there was some stuff on it, but I found out, you know, he was out of jail. He's doing good. I think he is completely innocent. And I decided that we didn't need to cover it.
All right. Has anyone ever asked you to stop covering a case?
Yeah. I want to cover the case that happened here, but my family won't let me. Which, you know, it's smart for us not to cover it, but yeah, I think that's only one.
I really think that is too.
Yeah. Yeah, there really isn't too many that we're told not to cover.
Yes.
So, what is the wildest theory a listener has ever sent in? I think we can agree on this one. That Angela Sharice Gwynn Stevens is in a cemetery in a location near us.
Yes. We still need to get up there and investigate.
I know, but we never have time. Anytime we have time, it's dark, and I'm not going to a cemetery on, you know, a road where people will be like calling the cops on us. But that possibly the wildest one.
Yeah, I think that really is.
There's been a few on.
There was a couple on Nellie and Ray.
Nellie and Ray.
So, do you ever get nervous covering real people who might still be out there? I think both of us, it's going to be polar opposite answers.
Me, sometimes, you never.
Yeah, I'm never nervous.
Yeah.
Because if they're out there, then they need to turn themselves in.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I mean, my God.
And I mean, if you want to talk to us, you know, you can talk to us. Yeah, hey.
Hit us up.
There's a few I want to talk to, but, mm-hmm. You know, it's really a yes and no situation. How long does it take to put an episode together?
Honestly, it depends on the episode.
Yeah. Nellie and Ray took 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
The longest may have been the co-eds, because I was working on Samantha Burns, Brenda Gale Lambert, and the co-eds all at the same time, 4 different episodes. So I was a little brain dead after, you know, I did finish the co-eds and finally got those edited and posted and all of that.
Harry Powers was another long one that we did.
I mean, his episodes are like, what, close to 3 hours if you put them together.
Yeah, that one was really insane.
So, it truly honestly depends on the case, how much coverage there is, how little coverage there is. But we try to do as much as we can in a good enough time frame. Some are shorter than others. But other than that, it truly just depends.
It really does. It depends on how much information we can find.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can find more information than what we ever dreamed about.
Yeah.
If you could solve one mystery with a push of a button, which would it be?
Angela Shrees Gwynn Stevens, Teresa Ann Wood. You know, I want to say every single case.
True.
Baby Christian.
Yes.
Oh my God. I wish we had 23andMe in the state of West Virginia so we could finally get his parents. Who, you know, threw him over a bridge in
Harper's Ferry.
A garbage bag. Yeah.
It was so bad.
So, really just any case, every case, you know.
I honestly can say
Brenda's
we have
case,
actually asked each other this at one time.
Mm-hmm.
If we could time travel, which night would it be? Instantly, it's Nellie and Ray for me.
Yeah.
Instantly. But push of a button to be solved.
Yeah.
I want to know where Gretchen is.
Oh, yes.
I do. I want to know where Gretchen is.
Yes.
I want to know where Chandice is.
I want to know what happened to Judy Petty.
Yes. There's so many out there that are just, you're just literally left with a big, huge mystery.
Another one is Brenda Gale Lambert.
Yeah.
I want to be a fly on the wall in so many scenarios in that case. Ugh. Yeah. So, everyone, but not everyone, if we could.
Yeah.
If we could get one a year. If it could be a button for one a year for the each of us, I think we could do some good.
I really do. I'd be like, it's you!
Yeah. Would you ever do a tour of a location where a murder happened?
Fun fact, we have.
Yeah, we've done like a legit one with Appalachian Ghost Tours. We got to do a tour of the Mayberry Mansion where 3 people were murdered Valentine's Day in 98. We've kind of taken some friends around on Nellie and Ray.
I think the Nellie and Ray one is our absolute favorite.
Yeah. I got to take Pam out for Shrees Gwynn Stevens. So I mean, there is some tours we've done.
Yeah.
But
I think it's something if we got a pretty good interest in from folks, We would probably do it, especially the local ones.
Yeah, we have talked about renting a Sprinter van for Nelly and Ray.
Y'all don't know. Like, there have been so many nights that I will see Mark be like, yo, I found a used limo that we could do this.
I mean, we've done Nelly and Ray, honestly, not too long ago.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was fun. I mean, as much fun as, you know, going to murder locations can be. But, I mean, I guess that's another TBD. I mean, if enough people want to do a Nelly and Ray tour, you know where to find us, you know.
Yeah, we're down for it. We know that case like nobody's business.
The back of our hand, like, it's scary what all we know about that case.
Yeah. What's a case or story that almost made the cut but didn't?
The case of Mark Bayer. Mm-hmm. Which, again, I think he is 100% innocent. I think he took the fall for it. There really isn't that many. I mean,
if a case didn't make the cut, it's because we don't have enough information to bring it to you guys.
Yeah, which right now there's one in the lineup for this new season, and which I forget the woman's name, but it happened in Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a good case. It's a case I never knew about, and I forget how we
found it.
Yeah.
Per usual,
I reached out to a radio station and I'm like, oh, they'll still have a recording of this from the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I never got an email back. So, you know, we try to do things like that. So usually it just depends on how we feel and then the resources we have for the case.
Yeah.
And the final question, what is your holy grail interview?
Do I get to time travel? Or does it have to be present?
Oh, I mean, I know we would be talking to Nelly and Ray if we could time travel.
I think that, I would love to be able to talk to Lacey Peterson.
Yeah.
I would love. Oh,
there's so much coming out in that case.
I would love to.
I kind of want to cover it.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm firmly still believe that he done it. I would do that. I would love to get into Charles Manson's mind to how he convinced.
Yeah. Oh,
people to murder him.
I told you I seen a letter from him at Moundsville.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a letter from him, and he was asking the warden to, like, come to Moundsville so he could be closer to family, and the warden basically told him to F off.
Yeah.
I think my dream interview would be with the brother of Angela Shrees Gwynn Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
My dream interview, I'm going to say this so we can, like, manifest it. Natalie Cochran. You see everyone else's side of it. I kind of want to know her side.
Exactly.
So that's why I say, you know, I want to go into it as unbiased as possible, because I like to know every side of every case. Okay, so that wraps it up for questions today.
Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
I know. I had a great time. You know, you guys asked some, like, really good questions. And I loved every single second of it. So, if you like this, you know, a little Q&A, just let us know. And, you know, maybe we'll do more in the future.
Yeah.
So, thanks again for tuning in and being part of our little true crime community here in the mountains. We will actually be off next week because we will be going to Crime Junkie Live. So we are taking next week off, but we will be back with a brand new case. And I guess right now it's kind of my holy grail interview that kind of got set up out of literally nowhere.
Yeah.
That is going to be
absolutely.
It's going to be a great
Facebook and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries.
Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com.
For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.